Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Skill. The RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I'm inviting you to join us the week of January 24th through 28th for World War I Aviation Week on Warbird Radio Live each morning at 10 a.m. You will be hearing from members of the League who will discuss and answer questions about a number of interesting subjects from the aviation history of the Great War. For more information, check the Warbird Radio website. Please join us for what will be a fascinating week of programs.
You're strapped in to Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Whether you're listening live or listening to the podcast, we're glad you could be with us. We appreciate you listening in. Today's Tuesday, January 25th, 2011, and it's time to have a little fun. So tonight my guest is probably one of the best known individuals in scale RC modeling, and it's a real honor to have him on the RC Scale Builder Show. I want to welcome Nick Zeroli Sr. to the show. Welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show, Nick.
Mike, this is a real pleasure. I'm glad to join you.
Well, I'm glad you could be here, pal. It's you're one of those people that have helped to shape this hobby into what it is, and you know, it's a real pleasure to get to talk to you for a change. And I'm sure our listeners have a lot of questions tonight. So before we get started, folks, if you'd like to ask a question to Nick, and please make it not a technical question about his plans, because I'm sure he's not sitting there with a copy of his plans, every plan he has in front of him. But if you have a non-technical question that you'd like to ask Nick, give us a call at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio or email us at live, that's L-I-V-E, at rcskillbuilder.com. Well, let's get right into it, Nick. You know, there may be one or two individuals out there who don't know who you are. And for those few that don't, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got into the hobby and maybe a little bit about, you know, your progress through the hobby to where you are today.
Well, Mike, this hobby has been my life. I've been building model airplanes since I knew what an airplane was. Oh, many years ago, I was probably maybe five, six, 7 years old. My father built, this was during World War II, he built a couple of rubber models, just something for him to do, I guess. And boy, the bug bit me then, and it's never gone away. It's, like I say, it's been my life. I've built free flight, control line, glider, you name it. If it flies, I've built it and got into radio. I flew my first radio model back in around 1951, and it was a Berkeley air troll thing that I built and actually did some flying in gliders with it. I had a big hill by my house, and it was great to throw this glider off the hill and be able to go back and forth and turn around. But I've built a lot of models over the years, lots of models.
Well, that's pretty neat. You know, it's interesting how so many of us, when we're young, we really get into it, and then we tend to leave it for a little bit because, you know, get a career started and everything, and then we always seem to come back to it for some reason.
That's generally the case. I mean, I know many guys in my club. I live in Sarasota, Florida, and we have a big club here, almost 300 members right now, and a great bunch of guys, and a lot of them have been doing it a good part of their life, but there's the ones, like you say, they do it and stop, raise a family, and but I turned it into my business, so, you know, raising a family, there were still the models. I mean, my kids grew up with models. My son, he's been building models since, God, he was a kid, too, and flying, and he's very good at it.
Well, that's neat. Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe you know, your history and designing and maybe competition a little bit. Obviously, you own one of the best known plans companies in the hobby, in Skell RC, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people would kind of like to know how you started from flying free flight and control line and so forth and evolved into that.
Yeah, well, I used to publish a lot of models, and Flying Models used to get most of my models because Don McGovern, who was the editor of Flying Models, lived the next town. I lived in Smithtown, Long Island. He lived in Center Reach, and which was 10 miles away. And if I had a model, he wanted to publish it. So the only way I could get away from him was to do two or something, and two different models, and give one to Model Airplane News or RC Modeler or something like that. And mm-hmm. and he'd get the other one. But if you actually, I looked in the plans guide and Flying Models just the other night, and there aren't that many there. But I've had a bunch of models published in Flying Models.
Yeah.
But I did a couple that my semi-scale Moraine Sawler and Eindecker I did around 1965 or 4, 5, 6, somewhere around there. So I'm lousy with dates. I can't remember. But that was at the time when Rhinebeck first started. And it was a natural for Rhinebeck for this mission event they had, which was a bomb drop, balloon bust, and spot landing event. And I went to the first Rhinebeck event ever, and they're up in their 40s now, 40 years, 44 years or something like that. And never missed one up to a few years ago when I moved south. And I was there this past September. And it's still, the modeling is really, really great there. But so I started kidding them. I started making kits of this Moraine Sawler and Eindecker, and it got all out of hand. And I was a manufacturing engineer at that time in a company that made relays and mainly relays. So I made a decision: do I go into kits full time, or do I, you know, just forget it? But so I went into kits full time. That time I could have gone back to the job anytime. So anyway, so I did kits for a long time, had a few more, but then got from there into doing more industrial models. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of the guys remember Bob Kress. He worked at Grumman, and Grumman needed some spin models for NASA. They do take them up high. They're 1/10 size scale models, and take them up 5,000 feet and drop them and stall it and spin it and try to get it out of the spin, and there's a parachute in it that lets it down into a swamp. That's really what it did there down at NASA down in Virginia.
Yeah.
But and that got me into that. And then from there, I did a lot of work for Grumman, a lot of work for Republic, and built a lot of UAVs or RPVs then, and remotely piloted vehicles then, now unmanned air vehicles. But and that's mainly what I've done for the past 10, 20 years is the UAVs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you've kind of retired basically from the model industry.
Yeah, well, my son has the plan business now.
Right.
It's AzzaroliPlans.com. He's got the plan business, and he's doing a good job with that. And I still do consulting for a company up in Baltimore. They have a little skunk works up there, and when they get more work than the guys that are in there can handle, they give me a call, and I go up there. I spent quite a few months this past year up there. But they're modelers, too. One guy, Ron Stahl, and the other guy, Troy Lewicki, are both. Troy's well-known for his gliders, and he's an expert at composites, and I've learned a lot from him. And Ron is a good model, and he's well known in the area.
Gotcha. Well, folks, if you'd like to join in the discussion, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. That's all one word. Or you can shoot a question via email to us at live, L-I-V-E, at rcskillbuilder.com. Well, Nick, let me ask you something. You know, Zeroli Plans is probably one of the from my perspective, and I think a lot of people's perspective, one of the more successful plans companies in Skill RC. What do you attribute that success to?
Well, the giant scale models. I guess I was one of the first with a big giant scale model. I guess Bud knows, and he had his P-51 about that time, and that was about one of the only big Warbirds around. And then I came out with the Corsair, which happened just mainly because Dubrow started making this prop drive that they, oh God, well, this is 25, I don't know how many years ago. Like I say, I lose track of time, but quite a while ago. It's before the gas engine started on the scene. And, Dewey sent me one of the prop drives and said, what can you do with this? So I came up with this Corsair, which was built like a big Gillow stick model, but, the 93-inch wingspan, that was a pretty big Corsair at that time. And I flew that with a 60 in this belt reduction drive, prop drive, and it really worked very, very well. And then the Quadra 35s came along, so I replaced the prop drive with a Quadra 35, and it was really good. And the gas, I haven't put a big glow engine in any big airplane, but that was my first plan. That's been a very successful airplane.
Yes.
I mean, there were no retracts at that time either. But Bob Walker, who I've known for years, he came to visit one day on Long Island, and we went and flew the course, and he says, oh, he says, we can't have this. He says, this needs retracts. So that put Robart in the retract business, giant-scale retract business. And Bob's a master at that. I mean, he is really good at designing these things. And he's done a lot of retracts for my airplanes.
That's an interesting story. Looks like we got a caller holding. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Matt from California.
Hey, how are you doing, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
We're doing great.
What's your question?
You? Sure.
Yeah, so, Nick, I'm involved in fairly big UAV, UAS systems, so I'm wondering just what are you seeing because of your, you know, your record and reputation and modeling. Can you talk more about the overlap or what guys like you and Ron are seeing with the support you're giving to the UAV people?
Well, when I first got into it, they were just big model airplanes. I built some for Philco Ford back in, oh my God, I can't remember when this was now, back in the early 70s, I guess. And, early 70s. And, I did some for the Tatty Rand in Israel. I did that. But they were basically model airplane technology, and then it got much, much more technical. But they're here to stay, there's no doubt about that, in all sizes and shapes.
But they always seem to come back. Even after all these years, they still seem to come back to model guys. That's what I find fascinating.
Well, a lot of the model guys are pilots on them, external pilots when they need external pilots. And like the Shadow 200, the one that I've been involved with since its inception, that's the catapult launched and lands on wheels. Although it's been net recovered too, but. Actually, and even zero-length rocket launch, just sitting on a stand and poof, off it goes into the air. Well, not the Shadow 200. That was the Pioneer. But I built some full-scale Pioneers just as models, if you recall what the Pioneer was.
Yeah, because I think those IAI guys were recruiting from Southern California back in probably even the late 70s.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
Well, Matt, thank you for your question, buddy. We got some other callers we need to take.
Good talking to you, Matt.
thanks for calling. Also, we got an email in from mine and your buddy, Dean DiGiorgio.
He was involved, too.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. And he wants to know what inspires you when you pick a model for your next design.
Just something I like and hopefully something that somebody else doesn't have. I mean, that's mainly I've done stuff that I like. I mean, I grew up with World War II and World War II airplanes. Those are my airplanes. And that's mainly what I do and mainly what I've done most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting. What's interesting about that is I think you and I talked a little bit about this offline earlier, but you're working on a Spitfire right now, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why don't you tell folks a little bit about that?
Well, it's just about ready to fly. Actually, the plans are available, and one's been built and flown, but mine is I've moved, and I've been doing a lot of UAV work, which has kept me away from it, but I'm home now, and I'd like to have this ready for Top Gun, which is coming up in April. Is it April? March or April? Yeah. I can't remember the dates, but and yeah, that's a great event, and I've flown in just about every one that's been, and I'd like to be able to fly the Spitfire in that this year. I fly in the Masters class, which is the one where you design and build your own airplane.
Right? Yeah, it wouldn't be right for Nick Zeroli to be flying someone else's airplane, would it?
Well, I've done that too. Bill Steph is one of my friends. He built a lot of my airplanes. He flew his. He built one of the first B-25s of mine, 101-inch Spam B-25, and we flew that a couple of times in Top Gun. And then he did a D-18 also, which was a beautiful model, and I flew that too in team.
You know,
and a Corsair too. He had a beautiful Corsair.
You know, one of my buddies has your B-25, your larger one, and man, it is just a pussycat. You know, it really is.
Yeah. Well, that's been built up to Paul Letourneau blew it up to that. Oh, he's got a 16-foot one or something like that.
Wow,
monstrous thing, beautiful airplane.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you something. You know, something a lot of people always want to know is what are you working on these days, design wise? Anything new?
No, not right now. I've got a couple of things. I promise Model Airplane News I do a design for them, actually a B-25, electric B-25, and I got to get going on that. And that'll probably be the next one I do. It's about, 50, 60-inch wingspan.
Right.
That's one of the next things.
Well, that'd be a nice size.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, if folks are interested, obviously we have the link on the Warbird Radio page for the RC Scale Builder Show to your site, but obviously they can go to ZeroliPlans.com and see all the designs you offer, and there's a lot of them there, you know.
Oh yeah, I look through this catalog and I can't believe it. I can't believe how I used to turn these things out. I mean, making plugs from molds for cowls and canopies, and drawing the plans, and I can, plus doing other work other than the model work at that time.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. It's incredible.
Well, our producer Matt wants to know which is your favorite to fly of all the ones you've designed.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I love my D-18. I love my P-38. That was I felt like Superman when I was flying that thing. It was just such a great airplane and just so beautiful in the air. I love the Sky Raider. There's a bunch of them. I can't say which is a favorite.
Right? Yeah, I understand.
And then they're all pretty good. They're all good models.
Well, you know, the big question I have to ask you, and this is kind of a personal question of my own to ask you, is how in the heck do you put up with Dean DiGiorgio down there?
No, that's something else. Let's not go into that. Nah, he's a good guy.
He's a good buddy.
I knew his father for years. His father was a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very dedicated to the Warbirds. We had the one up in Kirkwood, New York, and they used to have a good flying up there.
Yeah.
Dino's.
Well, that's pretty neat. I was going to tell you, Oh, this is great. Nick Jr. wants to ask, who's the better builder, flyer, you or him?
Boy, he builds a beautiful model, I got to tell you. If you ever saw his Hellcat and his Grumman Avenger, boy, they were two beautiful models. They really were beautiful models.
Oh, yeah.
They were. And he's a good flyer, too, yeah. Both models and full-scale. Unfortunately, these days, he's doing more full-scale work flying. He owns a Stearman and he owns a Cub, and he's also got a Beach Baron, which isn't a warbird, but yeah. It could be. You could make it one, just a paint job. And so he's doing more flying. He's into the full-scale more than models. But he may be a Top Gun this year with a big Grumman Wildcat.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah.
We need to get you and him on here at the same time once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hey, it looks like we got another caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Dan out in Oregon.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I got a question for you. I was just kind of curious, as a designer, when you sit down at the drawing board and you're going to start working on something, and, I was curious how you come up with the size of the airplane, what it's going to be. Because if you ever look at the scales and everything, you get these weird numbers like 1.25.8 or 1.5.6. Yeah. And I was just kind of curious as to, what it is you guys are looking at, probably marketing-wise or whatever, when you go to lay down on paper what you're going to do.
Yeah, well, it is a marketing thing to some extent. I try to do something around 100 inches, 90 to 105, for a single-engine airplane, 90 to 100, around 100, 102, something like that. And twins up around 114. And so I pick a scale that comes out about like that. I don't go down to, a 2.25 inch to the foot, or 2.75, 2.5 inch to the foot, something like that. But that seems to be a good size. It's manageable. It's transportable. Not too expensive to build. And it just seems to work. There's landing gear for them and things like that. So that's the way I've picked them.
Well, super. Okay. Well, thanks for your question, Dan. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening. Got another one here, an email question. What makes a design fly well, and do you have some standard formula for numbers that you shoot for when you're designing these planes, as far as like tail moment and stabilizer size, et cetera? Is that how you come up with these great flying airplanes?
Well, if you do a scale airplane, you're stuck with the moments
and
tail size and things like that. You can fudge them a little bit, but
yeah.
I don't know really. airfoils, they all fly, but
yeah.
I like a semi-symmetrical sort of 24-12 type airfoil. Try to keep them as light as you can, although some guy can't believe. I mean, I'd see Sky Raiders, mine weighed 32 pounds, I see them 40 pounds. I say, where do you put 8 pounds in one of these things? How do you do that? I don't know, but I'm a little cautious with weight and try to keep the tail light. That's the main thing. Because every ounce in the tail is 3 or 4 ounces you got to add to the nose. So.
Right.
It does make a difference.
That's good advice. And you know what? We got another caller holding. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Who's speaking?
Can you hear me at all?
Yes. Sure. Yes, who's speaking?
Yeah. Hey, Nick, this is Bob Pickwood in Phoenix. How you doing?
Bob Pickwood?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mike, this is a guy I haven't seen in 30 years.
Well, actually, it's been sooner because it was at a 95 at the Scalemasters.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Before buying your P-38.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Larry sent me a link to this, and I said, well, I got to get on and just say hello to Nick if nothing else.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Obviously, you're still building models.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, more than ever. In fact, now that I'm retired, I got nothing else to do.
Oh, boy. Well, that's great.
So,
very good.
Yeah. One of the things, I sent an email in, too. I didn't know if I could get through to you on this Skype. I'm pretty much considering building one of your big Sky Raiders, because when I was in the Navy on the Saratoga, we had the last operational squadron of propeller jet propeller fighters in the Navy, which were these guys.
Wow!
It was it was VA 76 or 86, and they were the same guys that you see with the. I forget what markings, what ship, but with the big bumblebee with the lightning bolt.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Enterprise.
Was it Enterprise? Well, they show them on a number of ships. But we were the last ship they were on, and they were just transitioning over to A4s. They were just fabulous. I just love that plane, and I saw one of yours fly not too long ago, and I think I'm going to be talking to. Nicky, about getting plans.
Okay, Nick, good. All right. Yeah, give him a call. It's a great airplane. It really is.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. My God. Yeah, I love it. We want in a model.
Yeah, my friend Tom Smith, he's a local guy right here. He campaigns one that's he's done very well. It's a beautiful model, and it's just a good airplane. There's been a bunch of good ones.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like I mentioned in the email that I've built half of your stuff, like well not half certainly, but the early stuff, the Saulnier, Eindecker, Tau.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The one you sent me the parts for, and all kinds of stuff. And you know, up at Rhinebeck, you know, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, Rhinebeck was great. Yeah.
Well, caller, thank you for your call. We appreciate
Bob,
you calling in, Bob.
It's great talking to you, Bob.
You take care.
Take care.
Bye, bye, Bob.
All right, well, that's great. It's always neat to hear from people that you've seen in a long time. You know, one thing that I find kind of interesting is on rcscalebuilder.com, I've noticed several guys take your plans. You know, they're a great base for really doing a museum-quality model. And we have this one guy on the site. His name's Barry Dalwig, and he is doing a job on a Skyraider. I need to send you a link to it after the show.
You would
be amazed. But,
Well, the outlines on my planes are good. They're pretty darn good, really.
Absolutely.
In most cases, what I try to pick the best three views I can find, and just go from there. And if the three views are the guy uses the same three views, the judge has got to see it that way.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know what, Nick, you're never going to believe this, but we got another caller holding.
Good
evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike, this is Forrest over in South Carolina. How are you doing?
Hey, Forrest, how are you tonight, buddy?
Good. I'm sitting here working on a B model conversion off of one of Nick's Mustangs and burning rivets in it, and I just had to give you a call listening to your show tonight.
Well, great.
Wow, that's great. I've got one. I've got the original fiberglass fuselage that we made, my God, 20 years ago, whatever it is, and I've been going to convert it into a B, and I just haven't done it. I should have a P-51, and if I do, it's going to be a B, and the B is that's a great P-51, too. Yeah.
Oh, that would be a great conversion if you offered that in your plans. I'm sure there's a lot of guys like to.
I know. I've heard that many, many, many times. I know.
There's just not enough hours in the day.
This summer, I appreciate all the plans you got out there. I've got one of your Stukas I've flown for years, and we've had five or six of them together.
I've still got the original one. That's built back in around 1988, 87, 8, around there, 89 maybe, but... Still flying. That really is a great airplane. One of the guys in our club, he's going to be flying one at Top Gun this year. Yeah, John Hayes.
It's amazing how it looks. You would think it would be a difficult airplane to fly, but it really flies
right.
Nice.
It's not. That's right. But see, I make sure there's washout in that wing. That wing could be a real, real tricky wing, but with the right amount of washout in it. It keeps it from tip stalling, and it's a pussycat of an airplane, really.
Yeah, there were several of us got together and built them and just said, this looks like it's going to be a wicked airplane, but we were all surprised at how good they fly. That one now works wonders. What you do for us.
I'm sorry?
I just wanted to call and say thank you for what you do for us with all the great
plans.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
There.
Oh, no, I really do appreciate it. Yeah. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Forrest. We appreciate
sir.
It. And I've been at some of the fly-ins when Forrest and those guys are there, and there's nothing more impressive than seeing three or four of those flying together.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Warbirds over Delaware one year, and this is many years ago before they were flying gaggles of airplanes, we had five Stukas there this year. And this goes back a long way. And we're all on different frequencies, fortunately. And we put all five of them up, and that was really pretty impressive, really. And did some great flybys with them, too.
Hey, we got a couple of email questions here for you.
Sure.
You're just the answer man tonight. What can we say?
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Let's see. This is from Diane in New York. She wants to know, what kind of experience does a person need to fly your plane, and which ones would you suggest a beginner start with?
Well, you got to be past the beginner stage, that's for sure.
Sure.
Easy to fly. The Sky Raider is an easy one. Mm-hmm. The Corsair is an easy one. P-47 is good. I can't think of which one would be the easiest to fly. The Sky Raider is really an easy airplane to fly.
Yeah, you just need to have a little tail dragger experience and be competent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you had a smaller top flight or that type of plane and could fly it competently, you could fly the big ones.
Absolutely. And one more quick question for you.
Sure.
This is from Dean. It's another question from Dino. he's trying to keep you on your toes tonight, I think. He says, this question has been the most popular among Warbird flyers. Does a heavier model fly better than a lighter one, in your opinion?
Some say yes, some say no. And in some ways, a heavier one can be better. If it's a windy, gusty day and you got a heavy airplane, like coming into land, it makes that easier. I mean, it's got a more predictable sink rate and you land with some power heavy's got, I can't answer that empirically. It's lighter is better, but in some cases a little extra weight doesn't hurt. But I try to keep them on the lighter side myself.
Yeah. Well, I think our producer and owner of Warbird Radio wanted to come on. Matt, are you there with us?
Mike, I am here, and I let's take this. There's a caller who just called in.
Okay, let's take the caller then.
Take the caller, and then we'll get back with you.
Sure, no problem. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, Larry Davidson here.
Hey, Larry.
Friend of Nick Ciroli's for years and years and years, and the one plane he didn't mention was the easy airplane to fly is his Zero, which I built one 10 years ago, and I continue to fly it, and he's just a great designer and a long-time, lifelong friend.
Larry was at Warbirds over Delaware. I've been trying to get him to come to Warbirds over Delaware for years. It's not that far from where he lives. He finally came, and now he's got to come every year now. Larry, did you hear who was on before?
Yes.
Pick quote?
I know. I told him to call you.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I was gonna call you and say, you let anybody get on the phone to talk to Nick, But we all three of us go back way back, back to Long Island,
That's right. No, but Larry's right. The Zero is a good airplane, and that's a pretty easy one to build, too. Even Larry built it, and he built it pretty nice.
So.
Well, Larry's a free-flight guy, old-timer stuff, and he's a SAM champ. And for many years, he builds beautiful models.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Larry, thanks.
Yeah, no, they're good, and good to listen to you. I'm listening to you now on a computer and everything else. So, if you get any more famous, you're not going to be able to live with yourself. It's really unbelievable. a great friend. All I got to say is keep doing good work, Nick, and we'll be talking later.
Thanks. Okay, Larry, thanks. Appreciate it.
You know, you can judge a guy by the number of friends he has, and it's they always show up when you're on there. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Well, I think Matt was going to come back on. Matt, are you still there?
I just want to say it's not often that you get to talk to Nick Ciroli Sr. And sort of selfish here, Nick. I really want to tell you thank you because I think that a lot of designers and a lot of folks in the model business, they really don't understand the impact that they have on folks. And as a young kid growing up, and this was just a few years ago, but growing up, the model airplanes, the radio-controlled airplanes, were the only connection that we had as young kids growing up in South Texas to these warbirds. And I want you to know it's because of guys like you that this station exists today, because, you know, I grew up flying these things and absolutely fell in love with them. And if it wasn't for the models, this station would not be around. And I mean that sincerely. Yeah. Thank you for what you've done and are continuing to do. Really is great.
I appreciate that. Well, Thank you very much.
We're just not going to be able to live with you after the show, are we? Seriously, though, you know, you've made a huge contribution to the hobby, and I know so many people appreciate what you've done. You know?
I've enjoyed this hobby. It's made my life wonderful. It really has. It really has.
Well, look, let me ask you something. Would you be willing to come back sometime in the future and talk to us?
Sure, anytime. Just give me a call.
That'd be super.
I enjoyed it very much. Is a half hour gone already?
Man, it is gone.
Oh, it's over a half hour. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Mike, anytime.
Well, I really appreciate it.
And get Nick Jr. and I on at the same time.
We need to do that.
That would really be good.
I think we're gonna have a senior versus junior, Mike, like they do on the Discovery Channel there. So
that would be fun. Yeah.
Well, look, Nick, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Anytime. And, I really enjoyed it. It was good to talk to some old friends there, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, folks, be sure and visit ZeroliPlans.com and check out their offerings. And I'm sure if you go to any of the events, you'll see Nick Sr. there and probably
We'll be at the Ramp Show and the Weak Signal Show, Toledo Show.
Well, I'll see you at Weak Signal for sure.
Good. So, okay, great.
Will you let me buy you a soda or a beer or something?
Absolutely.
I can do that. All right, pal. Well, look, thanks a lot. And folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have our trivia question tonight and then maybe talk a little bit about some upcoming events. So stick around. We'll be right back after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I'm inviting you to join us the week of January 24th through 28th for World War I Aviation Week on Warbird Radio Live each morning at 10 a.m. You will be hearing from members of the League who will discuss and answer questions about a number of interesting subjects from the aviation history of the Great War. For more information, check the Warbird Radio website. Please join us for what will be a fascinating week of programs.
You're strapped in. To Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm glad you could join us tonight. Man, that was great having Nick on the show. I want to apologize to you folks who I couldn't read your question. We just ran out of time, unfortunately. But we'll have Nick back on the show, and I appreciate everyone calling in and emailing tonight. Couple of quick things to cover. First of all, if you're a first-time listener tonight, be sure and check out our website, rcscalebuilder.com. You'll find some great build threads there and lots of great information. A lot of the vendors hang out on it. There's, of course, a Zeroli forum and lots of good info there. So be sure and check that out. That's rcscalebuilder.com. Also, since we ran over in time, we're skipping our book and DVD review tonight, but we'll get Ron Berg on next week. And he has a great, I think, a DVD to review about foam wings. But thanks for calling in again. So now it's time for our famous Meister trivia question. Are you around, Matt?
I am, Mike, and I have not read this one tonight. So
you have not. This is actually pretty easy.
Oh, God. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it, Chilson.
Okay, folks, for the way this works is we read a question, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now to go ahead and pull up Google.com.
Yeah, get it ready. Get it ready.
Get it ready, because when I read it, you'll want to Google this and try and find it. And basically, the first person to call in or Skype us or email us with the answer will win a bottle of Zap Glue and a Arrow Cinema DVD preview.
A free fruitcake pack. Yep. There you go.
I would not do a fruitcake to anyone.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So here's tonight's question. Which World War I aircraft is often referred to as being the best French fighter during World War I?
I know what it's not, but I don't know what it is.
Once again, which World War I aircraft is often referred to as being the best French fighter of World War I? If you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio or shoot an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll try and give you some glue and a preview DVD. So be sure and give us a call.
That was great talking to Nick Zeroli, by the way, Mike.
It really was, you know. And he's such a nice guy. He's so easy to talk to and likes to talk about the hobby and sharing information. Right. So that, you know, that really makes it a lot easier. And it's rare we have anyone on here who isn't nice. But sometimes people are a little shy about talking.
Dave Platt, he can be a little, you know.
Dave is Dave, you know.
And Dino DiGiorgio, just watch out.
Okay, that guy, you know, I think he's close to a ban. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he might be.
But anyway, let's read the trivia question one more time. Which World War I aircraft is often referred to as being the best French fighter of World War I? Can't say that. Give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio or email your answer to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and you will win some glue. So it's that...
Gale Throne ought to get this one.
Well, you know, we just got an email in from Ron Berg, and he said Newport 11, and unfortunately, that is not it.
Right. That's wrong, Ron.
That's not it, Ron. Good guess, though.
Are you enjoying the World War I History Week this week, by the way?
Man, I am loving it. You know, here on the station. Yeah.
You know, tomorrow, I'm really excited about this. I get excited about a lot of guests, but tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to Denny May coming on. His father, of course, was W.R. Wop May. That was his name or his nickname since he was a kid. He was the guy that the Red Baron was in pursuit of, and his guns were jammed. He was ready for a dogfight. Of course, he couldn't fight back, so he dives down right onto the deck and gets low enough that some troops on the ground were able to actually shoot this red triplane off of his tail, and of course, turned into one of the most memorable days, or noteworthy days, that is, in World War I aviation. That was the day that the Red Baron was shot down and killed. And,
absolutely.
Really cool stuff that his son is going to come on and share with us tomorrow. So,
yeah,
really neat to get to hear this kind of stuff. You know, I'm excited.
I enjoyed your guest today. That was fantastic.
Yeah, Russell Smith.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I know that she's listening tonight, but the person who recommended our new theme music is listening. I wanted to say hello to Lainey.
Lainey, hello.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening to the RC Scale Builder Show. And thanks to everyone else for listening tonight. And I can't believe we don't have anyone who has gotten the trivia question.
Yeah, this is an easy one now that I mean, this really is an easy one. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know that much about World War I stuff, but after I looked at the answer, it's really an easy
one. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it really is. Pretty straightforward.
Okay, here we go. I think we got an answer here.
We have a caller coming in right now. You want
okay,
to
well, we had an email come in, said Newport 17. Unfortunately, that's wrong. So let's take the caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, it's Forrest again. How about SPAD 13?
You are the man, Forrest. That's it.
I'm glad Forrest won.
Me too.
I didn't send him an email either. Forrest, it's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks
to you having the author of the book about Mr. Luke on there. I read that book over the summer, so I got an insight from that.
There you go. Forrest, I can't wait. Sodbusters, I hope I can. I was telling Mike today. I said, I hope I can fly down there in the L2 and land. Are you gonna be able to have full scale folks fly in still, or is that off?
Well,
this year?
It's sort of tied in there, but we can probably make room for you if you want to come down.
I think I could probably land down there. You know, I don't need a whole lot of room. But
if you guys could just put together a big bungee cord for us,
yeah, that'd be easy.
That'll stop him.
Yeah, just land right there.
If you want to come down and do that, just shoot me an email and we'll plan for you to do it and we'll get you in there.
There you go. Thanks, Forrest. That'd be fun.
All right, super. Forrest, do me a favor and email me your mailing address and we'll get some Zap Glue and an Aero Cinema DVD preview out to you.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right, super. So we have our winner tonight, and thanks for everyone who emailed in. Obviously, after I said we didn't have a winner, we got a flood of emails, but unfortunately, they were all wrong.
Did Gail write in? Gail is not listening.
No, Gail.
Gail didn't write in. He would have known.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to have the lights back there at Sodbusters again this year. That was really cool. They had these big, you know, industrial lights set up, and that was pretty cool getting to fly out there. You know, Gerhardt. Woman was out flying, and we had the park zones out there, and we had a good time, a lot of fun, and everybody had a great time down there at Sodbusters. Forrest does a great job down there. So,
well, that's neat. Well, let's talk a little bit about upcoming events before we wrap it up tonight. Of course, this is brought to you by myrcevents.com, and be sure and check them out for the latest events in your area. Of course, coming up March 4th and 5th in Perry, Georgia, the 2011 Southeastern Modeler Show.
Yeah.
Folks, if you have not ever been to this is the largest swap meet in the known world.
That's right. Right. And we're going to have an ugly airplane contest this year on our Facebook page.
Yes.
The winner will receive a really cool prize.
Absolutely.
One you're going to want to win, too.
Exactly.
not the ugly airplane.
Not the ugly airplane.
So all you have to do is take a picture of the ugliest airplane there at the show, because there's going to be hordes of them. Take a picture of the ugliest airplane and post it on our Facebook page, and you can stand to win the prize, which is going to be something you'll want to win. So
absolutely. And if anybody takes a picture of the airplane I'm taking down there to sell,
you'll win. You'll probably win. So
no, I'm just kidding.
We saw some real dogs down there.
We really did, yeah.
but also on the other side of the picture, there's some really nice stuff down there, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But everybody knows the ones we're talking about. Everybody's got that one plane. So
yeah, that you've had for 15 years.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the covering's peeling and it's fuel-soaked and everything.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Also coming up, April 1st through the 3rd, as Nick mentioned, the Week Signals Toledo RC Expo. And I'll be there and floating around. And for those of you that don't know or maybe first time listening tonight, we'll be having a dinner Friday night at Spaghetti Warehouse, the RCSkillBuilder.com group. If you're a member of the site or if you just love Skill RC, come join us. We'll be giving away some prizes. Just shoot me an email if you need the details or check out the website.
And give the date one more time for that, Mike.
That'll be April 1st through the 3rd in Toledo, Ohio, of course.
Yeah, right.
So be sure and check that out. And, of course, the 2011 Blue Max coming up April 15th through the 17th at Fantasy of Flight down in Polk City, Florida. And those guys are really gearing up to have a great event. And our good buddy Forrest, who was just on, their Sodbusters Warbird Fly-In will be April 22nd and 23rd in Camden, South Carolina. So be sure and check that out. If you'd like me to read about your event, shoot it to me in an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll get it on the air. But go to myrcevents.com and post it there, too, so everybody else know about it. One last thing to talk about, Matt. I found a really neat site called the 3View and Aircraft Resource. And what this was, apparently this this guy put this together for the guys that build airplanes for these sims,
right?
Like Microsoft Flight Simulator. But it has tons of 3Views, plans, photographs, everything. So
you really don't do much during the day. You just
I think
all you do is peruse the web for a really interesting site, because you're always Mike is always sending me something really really neat, whether it's on YouTube or wherever. And some of the stuff we can't post, but most
I don't
of the
know
stuff
if neat is the right word.
But most of the stuff is pretty informative. I mean, you really come up with some good stuff. So,
but I'll be posting all this information, the events, the recommended site of the week, and all that up on the episode thread on RC Scale Builder under the RC Scale Builder Show forum. So there be sure and check that out if you want more info. Shoot, Matt, I guess that's going to wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up tonight. All right, Mike.
Yeah, you know, what a great show. I really appreciate everyone listening tonight. And Josh, be sure and join us next week. We'll have another great guest. And I don't want to tell you who it is yet because I'm still trying to confirm it, but I think we've got another interesting person. So
another big name, huh? All right.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, next week's going to be blockbuster, just for us on the station. The only, or one of the only MiG-29 guys flying in the world today, a private hand, is going to be on Monday. And Doug Rosendahl, we have our Groundhog Day special on Wednesday. It's going to be nuts next week. And the week after is Kermit Weeks. Mike, how can this continue to be this good? I don't know.
You know, you're going to burn yourself out with all these great people.
We're going to have to step it up. So, great show tonight, Mike. Great show, buddy.
You're going to end up having me come on in the mornings and talk about something. You know, the birds chirping
right.
outside.
Glue
or something like
and
that,
sanding. So. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Glue and sanding. There we go.
There you go. Thanks,
Mike. Oh, and by the way, if you're ever in Birmingham, Alabama, give me a call and you can come by my workshop and
sand on
one of my planes for me.
God.
No?
I need another drink. Good night, Mike.
I'll let you do that.
Okay? Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Well, look, thanks again, everybody. Thanks to Nick Sr. Man, I really appreciate you coming on. But most of all, thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back next week with another great guest interviewed here on RC Scale Builder Show. And, of course, be sure and check out rcscalebuilder.com for more information. And until next week, I guess we will see you then. But don't forget to measure twice and cut once. Good night.